for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Oh, not forgetting Ibrahim Sani as well, who's on the show. Ibrahim, you've got another tax update for us.
Interesting times that we live in right now. Joining us is tax partner of KPMG Malaysia, Tai Lai Kok, sharing his thoughts on the matter.
The Honourable Finance Minister's maiden budget speech with the team, Tegur Kita Menang Bersama. Now, this is very notable because it is an expansionary one, despite the fact that the economy is expected to be reducing and contracting by 4.5% this year. Okay, now what is our expectation and what do we see from the budget announcements today? First of all, I think a very interesting one would be the mention of the 400 million contribution by our top glove manufacturers. Many have suggested that these manufacturers should have been subject to a windfall tax, okay, given the fact that they would have enjoyed very, very significant profits during this pandemic. Now, a lot of people are now starting to speculate that this 400 million contribution is in fact the windfall profit tax. So what do we think? Well, whatever it is a good conclusion, okay? And it probably works out as a good compromise between the glove manufacturers and the government, with the glove manufacturers agreeing to contribute towards vaccine costs and other costs insofar as battling the pandemic. A second issue that probably is going to be very high on everybody's minds will be the shadow economy. Now, the shadow economy obviously are various sectors of the economy which do not register themselves to authorities, who are not paying any taxes, and effectively, to a certain extent, living off you and I. Now, what has the government done in so far as this budget is concerned? Nothing really mentioned in the budget, but we must note that in efforts to curb the spread of smuggling of high-value goods in Malaysia, the government has started to look into bringing together a task force comprising of the MACC and the NFCC, okay, looking towards battling smuggling. Now, would one think that this particular super agency, as we would like to call it, would also be looking towards attacking the shadow economy and making sure the shadow economy is flushed out and they make their necessary contributions to the country? Okay, one will have to see. A third question that most people have brought up, obviously, is the area of GST. Okay, again, plenty of speculation that GST may be making a comeback and we would see it in this year's budget. Again, truly, insofar as the announcements were concerned, no mention of GST at all. Now, what is the position? Would ever come back in the near future? I think time will tell. At this point of time, we have the alternative, obviously, the sales tax and service tax. Okay, although, well, personally, in my view, it is not as efficient as a GST. But nevertheless, it is a system in place, and hopefully the government will review the possibilities in the future and think about whether or not it makes sense to bring back GST, okay, but perhaps at a better rate, a lower rate, and make sure that it can be administered much more efficiently than in the past.
That was Tai Lai Kok, the head of tax at KPMG Malaysia, talking about these issues. Back to you, Mel and Sharad.
Thank you, Ibrahim, and thank you for being on the show with us tonight. Okay, we're going to stay with the subject of tax. Our next guest is Vrindajit Singh. He's the president of the Malaysian Institute of Accountants. Now, Vrindajit, let's stay on the topic of windfall tax. It's been brought up multiple times during the show tonight. Top Glove, Hartalega, Supermax and Kosan all committed to contribute 400 million ringgit to the COVID-19 fight. Do you see this as a substitute to the windfall tax that, you know, it was expected to be announced, but no windfall tax announced? Was this the substitute to a windfall tax? And could a windfall tax have been more than 400 million?
Well, everybody expected a windfall tax, but actually squeezing out a 400 million donation from the glove manufacturers is actually in many ways also a windfall tax. So I think whichever way you want to call it, it is indirectly the same thing.
Except, Virinda, if you look at the numbers, Virinda, isn't it true that we would have, the government would have earned something like 4.8 billion in 2021 from these companies? The loss seems quite staggering between the donation and what was a legitimate demand for taxation.
Agreed. So the question is, if a windfall tax is that used to have something called excess profits tax in the past and was abolished, and this is for companies who make super profits. And really, you're going back to your profits rather than your turnover. So you're right that if you impose a 5% additional tax on top of profits exceeding a certain threshold, you probably get more. But the challenge here is always about if you introduce it suddenly and the perception among the climate among the investors, and that they actually turn off investors. So that's the other subtlety you have to manage. So in the process, you work out an alternative arrangement, small amount, but who knows, it might continue again in the future, so long as you do well. So I think it's a compensation. But I just want to remind all of us that we used to have something like a windfall tax called an excess profits tax on all companies who earned super profits in the past. So it might well come back in the future.
And speaking about things that might come back, it was really expected in this budget that GST might have been reintroduced. We haven't heard anything from that.
No.
I want to ask you very quickly about the covering the shortfall from the GST remains a challenge for governments. Has this government and this budget sufficiently dealt with increasing a tax revenue base?
Well, but before that, I think GST was never on the cards. GST will come back in the future, years down the road, right? In terms of revenue, if you look at the projections that the government has made, next year, in 2020, they're expecting an increase from 153 billion to 174 billion for tax revenue. And that's 21 billion extra, all coming from income tax and a little bit from excise duty. So how is that going to happen? And that happens because you're going to have an increased economic growth rate. So profits go up, so taxes go up. So that's the kind of numbers that the government is putting up. So it all depends on how the economy does.
Are these numbers too optimistic in your view?
Yes, they see well over 10% increase. So it is optimistic, and it means that there could be aggressive audits done by the tax authorities as well, which normally happens when an economy is on upturn. So is it achievable? Right now, it doesn't look achievable. All depends on how the economy does next year. A bit over-optimistic, but let's see how it goes. So it is not a sustainable tax revenue model. I think that all depends on the kind of tax reforms you're going to introduce. And unfortunately, this is not the right time. So we think next year's budget will be even more exciting than this.
Right.
Virinder, you know, we all recognize that Malaysia's market and its private sector is a major engine for the country. Was enough done for that sector? Did you expect more to be done, or do you think it was sufficient to actually help or give the private sector a kind of helping hand?
Yes. I think a lot of allocations, grants, I think you see this every year. And the challenge here is always about the take-up. And there's just too much of detail in the budget, too many allocations, and nobody knows where they'll get it, and they have to search for the information. We have to make it efficient. And this has been one of the criticisms of all past budgets. Where do all these allocations go? How do I find out? Where do I get the conditions? So I think to build an investment climate, you obviously need a lot more. You need to fix a lot of structural issues that we have in this country. But that will take a while. But I think in terms of this particular budget, I think it's just keeping us our heads above the water. And it might just be enough to move along. But remember, we're also relying on global growth in terms of demand and so on. And that can only happen when the pandemic is really curtailed. So we just hope that things will move in that particular direction.
Right. I want to kind of zoom in on one specific incentive that was announced and get your thoughts on it, Virinder. The stamp duty exemption for first-time homeowners that are purchasing properties below 500,000 ringgit. I wanted to ask you whether you felt this incentive actually hit the right mark in terms of the property price bracket and who it might help.
Yes. Again, Melissa, this is not new. It was there already. And then it went off, and then now it's being brought back. So it's more of the same old stuff that we've had. Does it achieve its particular target? I think you're looking at a 500,000 threshold. So any property from below 500,000 qualify. So I thought it will be is fine, but I think in the sense the duty is a small figure. So, but I suppose for first time owners, anything helps, any little savings is good for them.
Sure. So I think it big question for you. Sorry, big picture question. Was this a bold, imaginative budget to deal with an extraordinary situation of both a public health crisis, a global public health crisis, and a global recession?
To me, this particular budget had a bit of everything, a smattering of everything to satisfy everybody's palate. Is it extremely bold? No, it's not an extremely bold budget. It's just more of the same that we've had in the past. But I suppose we have limitations, so that's the best we could do. And so it could have been much, much more dramatic. And one of the ways would have been a reduction in corporate tax rate and see how that impact would have impacted investment flows. That could have been, but it comes with a risk in terms of does the investment flow come in and therefore do you want to lose revenue and so on and so forth. That would have been a big bang approach. A phased corporate tax rate reduction to 20% over a few couple of three, 4 years would have been a great opportunity for the government.
Okay, so a missed opportunity. But thank you, Virinder, for speaking with us tonight. We really appreciate your time. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. It's 1 hour episode. Thank you so much for staying with us this whole hour. I'm Melissa Idris.
And also thanks to Ibrahim Sani for all his contributions. I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching and good night.